gives here is, should creationists abandon the King James Version? There are those who would say today, if you're an informed person, if you're an educated person, if you're a scientific person, you could not believe in the King James Bible because they say it's outdated. And many of them have abandoned the King James Version in favor of one of the newer translations. And what I want to do is simply read this man's testimony with you, and I do that to help you understand that the material that I've already presented to you in the past few weeks on the subject, how we got our Bible, is the King James Bible credible? I want you to know that that's not just my idea. And when we believe in the KJV, we're not standing alone. There are millions of people in our world who are good, solid Christian people, and many of them are scientists. There are over 250 world-renowned scientists who have joined in Dr. Henry Morris's stand for the King James Version of the Bible. So I want to read this with you tonight for our lesson. And the first part of his article has to do with the King James translators, those who were appointed by King James himself to bring about this one more true, good translation of the Scriptures. One reason is that all 50 or more translators who developed the King James Bible were godly men who believed implicitly in the inerrancy. That means that the Bible is without error and full authority of Scripture, and in the literal historicity of Genesis with its record of six-day creation and the worldwide flood. This has not been true of many who have worked on the modern versions. Furthermore, the King James translators, and there were 54 of these men, were great scholars, as proficient in the biblical languages as any who have come after them. They were familiar with the great body of manuscript evidence, and we've been studying about that in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. They were familiar with the great body of manuscript evidence as well as all the previous translations. They worked diligently on the project assigned to them by King James for 7 years. That was completed in the year, of course, 1611, with the result that the authorized version, and that's what we use, that's what we have, that's what we believe in, the King James Bible is the authorized version. This eventually displaced all those that had gone before the King James and has withstood the test of wide usage in all English-speaking countries ever since. Now, which of these new translations, people are asking today, is credible, or should we use one of them? It's not a new question. There have been over 120 English translations of the complete Bible published since the King James, as well as over 200 New Testaments. Even if one really feels that he ought to switch to a modern translation, how can he decide which, if any, is really the inspired Word of God? Now, this is his personal testimony. He says, I have personally perused or read through in some depth at least 20 of these so-called translations. Is God the author of confusion? For a long time, the official version used in each Bible-believing church was the King James, with the others used occasionally for reference study by teachers and pastors. Now, however, confusion reigns. Congregational reading is no longer possible, and scripture memorization, which has been an incalculable blessing in my own Christian life, is almost a lost art these days. And what about our belief in verbal inspiration? If it's only the thought that counts, and you remember I pointed out that even way back there in the school of Alexandria in Egypt, where the Alexandrian manuscripts came from, that was their idea of translation. That it's just the thought that's important, not the literal words. But we believe in a literal translation. What about our belief in verbal inspiration? If it's only the thought that counts, then the words are flexible, and we can adjust them to make them convey any thought we prefer. Exact thoughts require precise words. Now, this man believes in that exact, literal, translating mode of the scriptures. Which version best renders the original manuscripts? Even many King James Bibles have footnotes referring to what are said to be better manuscripts, which indicate that certain changes should be made in the King James text. But what are these manuscripts? And are they really better? It is significant that almost all of the new versions of the New Testament are based on what is known as the Westcott Hort Greek text, whereas the King James is based largely on what is known as the Textus Receptus. Now, those terminologies, that terminology should be familiar with you or to you at this time. He's referring here to that Westcott and Hort text. You remember what they did? They took those Alexandrian manuscripts, which was comprised, of course, of the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. All of that came out of Alexandria, Egypt. And they took that and welded those two texts into one of their own, the Westcott and Hort text. Now, it's significant that almost all of the new versions of the New Testament are based on what is known as the Westcott-Hort Greek text, whereas the King James is based largely on what is known as the Textus Receptus. Now, you remember that the Textus Receptus came from the Antioch manuscripts. And those in Antioch insisted on a literal word for word translation. Not the idea that it's the thought that counts. You see, we're being told today, anybody that's been to college or to the university in the last 8 to 10 years have been told that if the Bible were being written today, it would be entirely different. That they would write according to the tenor of the day. Mr. Jimmy Carter, ex-president of the United States, is used as an example of one of these people saying that that the Bible wouldn't be written like it is today. He says, Mr. Jimmy Carter says, if Paul were writing today, he would not have said what he said when he wrote about women and their role in the church, and how women are to be silent on these matters of authority, and not to usurp authority over men. He said if Paul was writing today, he would be politically correct, but he wouldn't say that. Well, you see, that's because Jimmy Carter believes that it's the thought behind the word, not the literal word itself. Now, I've never had too much confidence in Jimmy Carter to start with. And I sure don't have any confidence in his theology. And I can assure you that Mr. Carter's 100% wrong. because there's no way to update God. When God gave the word, it was given for all ages and for all times and for all races and all gender of people. You don't update God. And there's no way in this world you can be politically correct and be biblically correct. For what people call politically correct today is anti-biblical. It goes against everything the Bible teaches. As far as the Hebrew text is concerned, the King James is based on the Masoretic text, while the modern versions rely heavily on Kittle's revised Masoretic text. Now, the Masoretic text, and we're going to be studying about that in the next few weeks. The Masoretes were those who were involved in literally copying the Word of God in handwritten form. And these people believed in that literal copying mode. Kittle revised that, and he was one who was not one who believed in the literal translation of the Word of God. The Masoretic text was compiled from the ancient manuscripts of the Old Testament by the Masoretes, Hebrew scholars dedicated to guarding and standardizing the traditional Hebrew text as handed down, the basic meaning of Masoretic, that's what it meant, handed down from the earlier Hebrew scribes, who had in turn meticulously copied the ancient Hebrew manuscripts, scrupulously guarding against error. As far as the Hebrew text developed by Rudolf Kittel is concerned, it is worth noting that Kittel was a German rationalistic higher critic, rejecting biblical inerrancy and firmly devoted to evolutionism. You see, those people did not believe in the creation account. And I don't think anyone who rejected the creation account as found in our Bible, I don't believe that person is credible. And I am not willing to accept any translation that comes from those people because they're off base to begin with. The men most responsible for alterations in the New Testament text were B.F. Westcott and F.J.A. Hart, whose Greek New Testament was largely updated by Eberhard Nessel and Kurt Allen. All of these men were evolutionists. That's important you remember that. They were evolutionists. Furthermore, Westcott and Hart both denied biblical inerrancy. In other words, they did not believe the Bible is without error. I believe the Bible is without error. I think you believe the Bible is without error. They did not. They didn't believe in the total inspiration of the Scripture. They said some parts were inspired and some are not. So that's why they used the pick and choose method. They'd read a verse and say, well, I think this is right. And read another verse and say, I think this is wrong. So I'll leave that out. I'll take this. I'll put this in. Pick and choose. Westcott and Hart both denied biblical inerrancy and promoted spiritism and racism. Nestle and Allen, like Kittel, were German theological skeptics. They were not true believers. I ask you a question. How could a skeptic translate correctly any part of the Scripture? They cannot, because they don't believe it in the first place. Westcott and Hart were also the most influential members of the English Revision Committee, which produced the English Revised Version of the Bible. The corresponding American Revision Committee, which developed the American Standard Version of 1901, was headed by another liberal evolutionist, Philip Schaff. Most new versions since that time have adopted the same presuppositions as those of the 19th century revisers. Furthermore, the Westcott and Hart text was mainly based on two early Greek manuscripts, the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus text. which were rediscovered and rescued from long and well-deserved obscurity in the 19th century. Since these are both said to be older than the 5,000 manuscripts that support the Textus Receptus, they were called better. And they called them better simply because they were older. They said, we found some old manuscripts. And the reason they were old and had survived in good condition is because they hadn't been used. And the reason they hadn't been used is because they'd been rejected by God's people. But yet these people said they're older, therefore they're better. This was in spite of the fact that they frequently disagreed with each other, as well as with the Textus Receptus, and also contained many obvious and flagrant mistakes. The fact that these two manuscripts may have been older does not prove they're better. More likely, it indicates they were set aside because of the numerous errors. Thus, they would naturally last longer than the good manuscripts, which were being used regularly and worn out because of use. So, one of the serious problems with most modern English translations is that they rely heavily on Hebrew and Greek manuscripts of the Bible developed by liberals, rationalists, and evolutionists, none of whom believed in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. Is this how God would preserve His Word? Would He not more likely have used devout scholars who believe in the absolute inerrancy and authority of the Bible? How about the archaic language in the King James? You know, that's why most of these folks say they want a new Bible, because of the archaic language. Well, listen to this scientist. The beautiful prose of the King James is a treasure which should not be lost. It has been acclaimed widely as the greatest example of English literature ever written. Apart from a few archaic words which can be easily clarified in footnotes, it is as easy to understand today as it was 400 years ago. This is why the common people today still use and love it. It is the so-called intelligentsia who tend to favor the modern version. The King James uses mostly one and two syllable words, and formal studies have always shown its readability index to be the 10th grade or lower. It is also noteworthy that the King James was produced during the period when the English language and literature had reached their zenith of power and expressiveness. This was the age of Shakespeare, for example. Modern English is merely a decadent remnant of its former beauty and clarity. It is no wonder that a Bible translation produced at that special time in history has endured for almost 400 years, meeting the needs and guiding the culture of over 10 generations of English-speaking people. We have abandoned today many fine points of grammar commonly used in 1600. For example, we forget that thee, thou, and thine were used to express the second person singular, with you, ye, and yours reserved for second person plural. Today we use you indiscriminately for both singular and plural, thereby missing the precise meaning of many texts of Scripture. Furthermore, the translators were not only biblical scholars, but accomplished writers, and one of their goals had been to produce a Bible that would sing with beauty and power, as well as retaining literal faithfulness to the original text, which had themselves been written with majestic musical beauty. With all these factors in mind, do we not most honor the Lord and His revealed Word by having it read and used in that form of our language which was in use when the English language was at its best, instead of our modern jargon? All modern versions are inferior to the King James in this important regard. Someone said to me this past week that they were watching one of the Billy Graham television programs from his Charlotte Crusade, and he is advertising on that one of these newer versions. In fact, they're giving them away to anybody that will write to them. And he made the statement that this Bible reads like a newspaper. How many times have you heard me say that that's the reason why these people say they want a new Bible? It reads like the newspaper. But the newspaper, friend, is hardly acceptable language. Those newer versions of the Bible is in street language. Now, I'm not cussing in the pulpit. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not using bad language in the pulpit, but I just want to tell you that there's several places in those newer translations where people are called sons of bitches. And cussing, gutter language is used profusely. Where would anyone want a Bible reduced to gutter language? To me, friend, that is a lack of intelligence. Conclusion. I believe, and this is his statement. I believe, therefore, after studying, teaching, and loving the Bible for over 55 years, that Christians, especially creationists, those of us who believe the biblical account of creation, need to hang on to their old King James Bibles as long as they live. God has uniquely blessed its use in the great revivals, in the worldwide missionary movement, and in the personal lives of believers, more so than he has with all the rest of the versions put together. And by their fruits ye shall know them. Matthew 7:20. It is the most beautiful, the most powerful, and I strongly believe the most reliable of any that we have or ever will have until Christ returns. Now to me, that is a powerful testimony. This man is a highly educated, scientifically trained man. And this man gives us his testimony. He lends us his testimony to support our support of the King James Bible. Now, if you're a Bible reader and a Bible lover, I'll guarantee you, you won't move very much horizontally in our world. You won't go very far in any area of life until you're going to be bumping into people who say, well, I'm saved, I love the Lord, and I've got a Bible, I've got a new version, I've got a new translation of the Bible, and I think it's great. I don't see anything wrong with it. And you're going to need to know what to say to them when they tell you, you got an old Bible. Well, I do have an old Bible. I have a Bible that is translated from the best, reliable text and manuscripts known to man. I don't have any need for a new Bible. As someone has said, and you've heard it said many times from this pulpit, we don't need a new Bible. What we need is to reread the old Bible that we've got. I don't claim to have a superior intelligence, but I've never had any problem understanding the King James. And it isn't what these people don't understand that bugs them. It's what little bit they do understand that tears them out of the frame. And we have no need whatsoever for a revision of the Word of God. I rest securely in the fact, based upon what evidence we've had presented to us so far, based upon our research, back into the manuscript factor, the translation factor, and the preservation factor, that God gave the Word, God preserved the Word, and I do believe, and it's important you remember this, I've stated it several times, I put it in writing, because you see, I know that one of these days, I'm going to be gone. And what I leave behind me is going to testify to future generations what I believe about the Word of God. Now, put this in writing so it'll be preserved. I do have total confidence that God intended for every human being on planet Earth to have the Word of God in their mother tongue. And English is our mother tongue. And this is the Bible, the Word of God, that God intended for us to have in our language. I see no need whatsoever of having another Bible or another translation. Now, that's going to put you at odds. That's put me at odds with many people in our world. You go in these other Baptist churches here in Gaffney, and over 50% of them have a pastor that reads differently from the Bible than you and I read. They have one or more of these many different kinds or translations of the Bible. And in those places, you cannot read the Scripture as we read it this morning, because it would be total confusion. Here are all these people reading from all these different versions of the Bible. And as this man pointed out, this cancels out Scripture memorization. And that has been one of the key factors in producing a real Bible-centered church and victory in individuals' lives, this matter of memorizing the Bible, the Scripture. Now, you've got all these 150 different ones, and people say, well, which one should I memorize? We ought to memorize the reliable, dependable King James Version of the Bible. But in those places where they don't use that, you don't have that. You can't do that. And I rest comfortably. And I appreciate the testimony of this dear man of God, this highly trained scientist, who has put his faith and his confidence in the same Bible that you and I love and cherish. Now, I hope you'll keep this testimony with you. I hope you'll read it over sometime in your private devotion, sometime at home when you have an opportunity. Read this over. You'll probably have family members coming in out of your home questioning your confidence in the King James Bible. And when they come, you'll have some material to present to them. I'm not on a crusade, because I'm simply using the same Bible I've always used. A man walked up to me some time ago where I was preaching in a Bible conference. He said, which Bible do you read? I said, did you hear me preach? Or was you asleep while I was trying to preach? He said, what do you mean? I said, did my Bible read like yours? Were you listening to me when I read the Bible? If you were, you ought to know which Bible I use. If your Bible agreed with the Bible I read, then you know I'm using the King James Bible. If it didn't, then you know I'm using a version different than what you use. And there's a reason why. Of course, that produced a real face-to-face, hot confrontation. But we need to remember. And I know again, when I try to talk to you, I look at you, and I look at the expressions on your face. And I know that to many, this has not even really begun to touch you, because you have the attitude, well, you know, that doesn't bother me. I'm not concerned about that. I'm not up in the air about that. I'm not bothered about that. But we are living in a time, friend, when it's going to become more and more and more and more the central question. Because if you watch television and you watch preachers on television, you know that right now very few of those preachers read or preach from the King James Bible. Most of them are using some of these newer translations. And you watch them, you listen to them, and you ask yourself the question, well, who's right? Is my pastor right? Are these people right? Are these saved people? Can I believe what these people are saying? And it's a tragedy that many of those men have just simply picked up one of these newer versions and said, I like the way this reads, and this is what I'm going to use. I don't know. I'm not too sure that they've ever been concerned enough to check out what you and I have been checking out. I'm not too sure that many of them are concerned about whether or not their Bible is a reliable translation. I think most of them are doing it for convenience sake. And most of them want to be thought of as a person who's up to date. And in order to be up to date, they think they've got to use an up to date translation or version. I have no desire to be up to date. None whatsoever. I just want to be right. And the only way to know I'm right is right by the book. And I want to know that my Bible is credible and it's the right one. And I say to you without apology, I believe the King James Bible is indeed the totally inspired, infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God that was settled forever in heaven. I want that to be settled in our heart and in our mind. Anybody have any questions before we move on and close this session tonight? I know we don't have a debate about this matter, and we don't have a dialogue. When I stand here in the pulpit, I expect to do the speaking and expect you to do the listening. I know that's the way it's got to be. That's the only scriptural way. But we'll take a moment if any of you have any question that you want to ask right now. I'm not sure I can answer your question, but I'll give it a good shot. Anybody have a question you want to ask? Anybody have a statement you want to make about this?